This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a recurring guest. It's our second time having him here on the pod. He was on episode 232, and we have to get him back because he's doing some big damn things. He's a Missouri boy. He's finally here in the 615 full time. It's my boy, Tyler freaking Nance.
How you doing?
Doing well. I was just up in Wisconsin at a festival. I know you were up there at a festival not too long ago.
Yeah, July 4th.
Bro, they're different up there.
Yeah, man.
Like, I had been to Wisconsin for club shows back in my touring days. I had never really been up there for, and we were up there for, we got there on a Wednesday, and I got back at 7 a.m. this morning. So we were up there for 4 days. We stayed in a camper, I got back this morning. I was supposed to fly back last night, and the flight got canceled. Milwaukee, like, flooded out. It was nuts, dude.
Really?
Yeah, it was a long journey for me and Ike, our video guy. Which, shout out Ike, he edits all these podcasts, so we love you. We love you, Ike. But the Wisconsin folks are freaking wild, dude.
Yeah, they can drink.
They really can, but they get along. Like, they drink and they're just happy.
Yeah, they're that close to Canada, you know? They're just, like, all nice.
Yeah, dude, they're nice people. They just love their cheese and their cold beer and their music.
Yeah.
So what was the festival that you played up there? Do you remember?
I played at Summerfest on July 4th.
Oh, that's one of the big ones.
Yeah, it was so fun. But it was, like, my first time with, like, a full band. First time in ears. It was a lot of firsts, so... This whole year's been a lot of firsts, but...
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, since last time we had you on, obviously Keeps Me Sane has been going freaking insane, dog.
Yeah.
You're coming up on, like, 10 million streams on that thing on Spotify here soon.
Yeah, it just, like, hit 7 million on Spotify.
It's moving so quick that it'll be at 10 by the time this thing's out.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what it's at across all platforms, but it's up there.
Yeah. Probably... Yeah, and you've had success with some of the other songs, but I feel like this one's just different.
Yeah, I had success with that Bad News, and then it was kind of like a smaller version of this, which I think was good. It was good for me because it kind of like showed me like what pressure was like, and on a smaller scale. And then this happened, and it wasn't like, whoa, I've never had this happen. You know, it's like I've seen it before, but just smaller. You know.
So. Yeah. What is it about Keeps Me Sane that you think has it doing what it's doing? Like, what makes it different from your other songs?
I think, like, the cadence of it, like, the cadence of, like, all the lyrics, and it's just so catchy, I think. Like, even whenever I wrote the first verse, it was just so dang catchy that it even had me, like, the night that I wrote it, just, like, repeating it over and over, and then just once we wrote it, it was just, like, even more catchy, the second and third verse. So
yeah, that melody just stays with you.
Yeah,
it's something that you can like come along to, like,
yeah, easy to like learn the words to, but like the lyrics are still like complex and makes like the listener think, which I love doing whenever I write. So
Yeah, you write at such a deep level for such a young freaking kid.
Like, yeah.
It's wild, man. And so what have some of the messages been about this song? Like, because all your songs relate to people. They're stories.
A lot of positivity. Like, it's really, like, reached out to the people listening. And some people have said that it's, like, the best song that they've heard in a really long time, which is so cool, like, to be able to, you know, reach out to an audience and have them say that. So I think it's awesome. And they're really enjoying it. Like, most everything's just positive. You know, you still have, like, the hate, but...
Well, I'm saying, like, messages of people relating to it.
Oh. Yeah, I mean...
Like, you sing songs for people that are in dark places.
Yeah, I mean...
You really do.
It really, like... I feel like it's reached out to people that have, like, struggled with, like, anxiety and you know, been overwhelmed and stressed, and it relates to a lot of people like that, and I've gotten feedback on that type of audience, like, people that, like, yeah, like, I relate to this so much and stuff, so...
Yeah, what's it like being a resident of Nashville, Tennessee now? Last time we talked, you were in a camper just over the border during tornado season.
Dude.
And now you're down here in the other LA, Lower Antioch.
Lower Antioch, dude. It's so much better. Like you were telling me whenever I was on here, it's like you're connected whenever you're like, you know, an hour away. But once you actually move into Nashville, it's just so much different. I've been able to like network and meet some more great people and actually do stuff and not have to plan like my whole entire day around coming here to do a couple things. So it's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I lived in Antioch once, and it's nice because it's just far enough outside of town to where you're not in the shit all the time. You're like,
yeah,
oh, I'm bored. It's 10 o'clock at night. Fuck it, I'm going to go out.
Yeah.
But you're also not so far away, like you said, where you have to plan your whole day around. I got to write. I should stay here. I got to write. I'm going to play this round, or I'm going to go hang with these people. I guess I'm in town for 10 hours. Yeah. I got to drive an hour or something home.
Yeah, like if I want to grab a few beers with somebody, I can Uber and
yeah.
I don't have to like, oh man, I got to get a hotel now or something like that. So it's really convenient.
Yeah. We were talking about anxiety, and that's something that you've been very open about. What do you think it is about younger folks having anxiety? Is it the phones? Is it the COVID thing? Is it just that we're more connected, or what is it?
It's what's like going on so much in this world. I mean, it's not like, this is a time where you see everything, you can see everything, like you can Google anything, you have AI and all that stuff, and like it's in front of our faces like 24/7.
Yeah,
there's no break. Whenever you're sleeping, you'll have your radio playing, it'll be something talking about what's wrong in this world. And like I just feel like there's so much stuff wrong in the world that's like, it's like that's all people have running through their minds. So it's just, it gets in their nerves more than what it used to be, you know.
Yeah, I feel like it's a blessing and a curse, because we can get I can get this podcast out to more people through the clips that are on social media. Your career has really taken off. Like, your story goes back to posting videos back in the welding days of connecting with folks through their phones. But then, like you said, we're almost too connected.
Yeah.
To where there's positives and negatives to it.
Yeah, people are on their phones just all the time, just seeing all this stuff. And I think that's what leads to all the anxiety, depression and stuff.
Yeah. How big is anxiety? How big is your struggle with anxiety been? Like, because you're a guy that's been by himself a lot. Like, since you got out here, you've lived alone, but also being away from home and being on the road doing your welding thing in your past life.
It was still tough, but it was really tough whenever, like, I graduated. I was like super anxious. Like, there'd be times I'd drive 8 hours to a job and I'd sit in my truck and I'd be like, yeah, maybe I don't need this job. Let's just leave. But you know, I overcame it and, I kind of got used to it just doing it. And then it's like just starting to post, I was so anxious about it too, because like I was so moved by everybody else's opinion, and which I doesn't matter, because like their opinion doesn't outweigh like all the positive ones and stuff. And it's just like kind of something that's came with growing up, like just being able to like reflect on myself and just kind of like see what outweighs what, and just learning that it doesn't matter what people say, because everybody's gonna have something to say.
Yeah, man, so. And you're the artist. You're creating art. You're creating something that hasn't existed before.
And like, you know, I'm like surrounded by people. Like, not everybody can do it, and I've been told that. You know, like surrounding myself with positive people that are like, people are gonna do this. So
yeah,
so it's like I've overcame it. Playing shows is getting 10 times easier. I don't like. See, I used to have to drink, like, to play, like, drink a lot. Like, I still drink, like, before I play and whatnot, but I used to have to, like, get hammered before I did it.
So you can kind of tunnel out what all those eyes watching you in a club or something, especially when you're kicking off a show acoustic.
Yeah, and, like, getting the nerves out and whatnot. It was, that's what I had to do. And then, like, you know, you play a show after, right, the day after another show, you can't really do that because you feel like crap. And yeah, so I've gotten way better. I'm more comfortable. I mean, I'm still awkward, but like, I mean, I'm probably one of the most awkward people I know, of course, but I'm biased. But just gotta embrace. I've just like learned to kind of embrace myself, because like, in the end, I think people just are more dialed into like the voice and the singing and all that stuff live. So.
Yeah, man, and they connect with your lyrics. You're a lyricist, man. It was funny. We when we had you on that last Wednesday that you had played with us over at Duck Blind, and you gave me the shout out. You played Midwest Memoirs, and dude, you were talking about that, man. It's like, that's what you're doing. You're taking people to small town USA and the struggles that people go through. Yeah. People go through them all over the world, but there's something about being in a cow town in the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah, Midwest Memoir, that was so cool, because you were asking me like what we did. I don't remember what like my response was, but it was my first podcast.
Yeah, dude.
I was nervous. I was so nervous. I was like, I don't know. We like all we did was like drink beer, drive around, and check cows, and try to stay out of jail, and that's about it. And I went home after that, and I had. Right after that, like maybe a few days, I had like Midwest Memoir down, because I like the alliteration between the two words, and I'm from the Midwest, and I was like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
So I had the song title, but like now I need the words. So I was sitting in a John Deere parking lot waiting on my buddy with a trailer to go haul a tractor to someone's house. And I was just like, I was chilling there, and he was taking forever. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna start writing down some lines to this. So I wrote all the verses, 2.5 verses, and I took it to Brent McCullough, a producer I use here in town, and we finished it, and it was just like, oh, this is really cool. So shout out to you.
I was gonna say it's cool to be a part of it in that small capacity, but also like it's so on brand for you to write Midwest Memoir in a John Deere parking lot while you're getting a trailer to go and haul a tractor.
Did I send you that song?
No, I haven't heard it yet.
Dang it. I played it live.
You played it, but I haven't heard like the version, man. What's the recording process been like now too? Because everything it seems like is elevating, and it's elevating freaking fast, dog. Like,
what's it like?
Yeah, like how has your process changed from a year ago to now of when you're in the studio? Like you got almost 2 million monthly listeners on Spotify right now.
Which
like,
is nuts.
Yeah, bro. It's a lot of fucking people.
That's a lot of people. Yeah. Imagine 2 million people just standing outside in the parking lot right now. It's a lot.
They wouldn't fit.
Yeah, I know. my process, I mean, dude, it's so much better. Like, first time I came here, I was uptight. I was nervous. I didn't know my voice. I knew my voice, but like I wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
So like I was still in my shell, and now it's like wherever I go, I feel like I got a little bit more credit. So like it's so much easier whenever you have like some credit to like go into a studio and like talk about things and stuff. So it's like so much easier to make that conversation. I live here in town. You live here in town, and like at first I was living in South Dakota. I didn't know anybody here, and like it was trying to become comfortable in a room like that was like really hard.
Imposter syndrome's real, dude. It's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, it's like I don't deserve this, and I don't have that thought. It's like I put out my second. It took me a while to like kind of get out of that. I mean, which I still think like, man, I don't deserve this, but you know. Everybody has a way of making it to where they're at. So,
when was the last time you were in the studio?
Well, I was just home for 2 weeks. So
a little before that,
like right before that.
So like July.
Yeah.
So How is the feeling in July versus the feeling of even living in Kentucky and driving down there, like from making the EP to now making the stuff that's going to be coming?
It's so much easier. It's so much fun. It's like you're just cutting it up.
Yeah.
Just like
you're loose.
Yeah, you're loose, you're comfortable, and like, you know, I've got experience under my belt, and like, you know, it's like I've gotten so many repetitions of doing it that's like it's not as hard. So.
Yeah. How has your past life of being out on the road welding, you think, kind of helped you in a way deal with music? Because the music business is very difficult, and it's a lot of ups and downs, and it's a grind, and it doesn't always happen super fast. You're experiencing success early on, which is awesome and so well deserved.
Yeah.
You're crushing it and everything, but the ups and downs of this thing, I feel like with a blue collar job like you're welding and living in a tent in bumfuck South Dakota or Iowa or wherever, I feel like that's gotta look like, looking back on that and dealing, being in the trenches, that's got to help you to where this music stuff's going to come a little bit easier.
Yeah, I mean, there's good and bad times to that whenever I was doing it. And, like, it's probably way worse good times and, like, really worse bad times doing that whenever I was welding. But, like, experiencing all of that has made like struggles out here like feel 10 times easier. Like,
yeah.
I just got to remind myself like, oh, I'm not in jail, or oh, I'm not freezing my butt off right now, or I'm not dying in the heat right now. So like it's definitely like given me that mindset. Like it's way worse. I'm doing what I love, and I'm, yeah. So like, and also, like, I whenever I was working on the road, like, I used, you know, like, hard times as what to write about. And I can still, like, pull from that. And, like, I know what that stuff was like. And, like, I can still, like, put my mind in those situations and, like, write about that stuff. So I think that's how it's related a lot. So how it's helped me a lot too.
Yeah, a bird knocking off your driver's side mirror on that big old truck that's in the parking lot is not nearly as bad as freezing your ass off in December in South Dakota.
Yeah, dude.
Let's talk about that story a little bit. How does a bird knock off your mirror? You've got it mostly replaced. Like, it looks better than it probably did.
It didn't break it off, luckily. It just like broke off like one piece, and then it cracked the small little mirror, like the blind spot mirror. And dude, I was driving and I heard a boom. I was like, what was that? Like
I didn't hit anything.
Something hit me. And I saw there was a trace of a bird on there. I was like, damn, that's what it was. Sure enough. So I'm in the process of fixing that now. So I was like, what are the odds? That bird could have been just like a foot farther to the right and just missed me. But
what kind of bird do you think it was?
Dude, I have no clue.
It couldn't have been that
a Tennessee, what, a Tennessee bird.
Tennessee bird.
Probably like a freaking buzzard. I don't know.
Buzzard, I feel like would have taken the whole fucking thing off.
Yeah.
Man.
I don't know.
That's funny. That's wild, man. How is the, you were just home. What's going home like now, kind of being well known in music around the world like you are, with millions of people listening, but I'm sure you are very small town famous.
Walmart superstar.
Oh.
McDonald's drive-through superstar. Oh, yeah. You're Tyler Nance. Yeah. It's pretty, I think it's cool. I went to, I'd walk around Walmart and be like, hey, how's it going? And whatnot.
And it's the Walmart you've been growing up going to your whole life.
Yeah, all the time. And then, like, the drive through. Oh my gosh, I love your song. It's like, heck yeah. I'm glad it's just cool. It's cool to, like, you know, see where I came from. My bank, shout out to Lamar Bank and Trust. They they love me there. Every time I go in there. Just seems like about everywhere I go in my hometown, people know who I am, which is pretty cool feeling.
Yeah. Is there a place where they do shows near your hometown?
They do it, like, I think this time of year during the fair, they have, like, a pavilion. They had, like, I think last year they had Clay Walker there. But I like, that'd be cool to, like, play a show out there.
Bro, that's what I'm saying. A hometown show. Playing, like, the county fair or something.
Yeah.
Full band.
Yeah, full band.
Like,
blow people away.
You had to have grown up going to that, right?
I mean, that they didn't start that until, like, I left.
Oh,
like,
you were already on the road?
Okay. Yeah, I was gone. So. But other than that, like, people noticing me, like.
It's the mustache, too.
Huh?
The mustache is so, like, distinct. Like, you have a distinct look. Yeah. Which is something that people always ask Nikki T and I, like, different things. And one of the things that we say when we're, like, if an artist could work or not is, could you dress up as that guy or girl for Halloween? You've got, like, such a distinct thing, you know? Like Adcock's got it, too.
But on a, mustache and paint it red.
Mustache and that Southern String hat, you know?
Yeah, man.
Have a chain with the cross.
I always wear this hat.
Yeah, it's, man.
Like, I was telling one of the guys over at Southern String, I'm like, I don't know what you guys put in this hat, but, like, I just love it. It's black, so it matches with everything. So it's, like, I have so many hats.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm like, I'm in the hat picking process, and I'm like, this one or this one, and I pick this one, and so it's like every single time.
Yeah, and it's at that Marlboro kind of design to it too, which is kind of like that slight outlaw thing, which is cool too, which fits the vibe of your music. I mean, you've had a damn mugshot as cover art.
Yeah, dude.
You lean into that. Which, what was that process like? Were there any second thoughts of doing that, or was it all, you were all the way in, being like, "This is the story of the song. It relates. I'm gonna put this mugshot on there."
It's kind of like, do we just like show people like my past life, and I kind of saw it as like giving like my testimony, you know, like. Because the song, I'm Not Him, it's about, like, you know, you do all these messed up things, and you've been to jail, and, like, you've done stupid stuff, said stupid stuff, but, like, that's not actually the person that you are, like, just because, like, you know, I got 2 DUIs doesn't mean, like, I'm just the worst person in the world, and
no.
You're still trying to better yourself. And so it's, like, do you let people find it, or do you just put it out to be, like, here you go, you know, so... My manager, he was like, why don't we use your mugshot for it? I'm like, that'd be sick. Like, let's do it. So we did it, and I thought it was really cool. Just, like,
have
my ugly mug.
man, you're wearing the art. It's a full legitimate-ass mugshot. Was that in Indiana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was in Greencastle, Indiana. Gosh, that was not a fun time.
Doesn't that feel like a lifetime ago, with just how fast life moves with music and living here?
It feels like it's like was just yesterday, but like it feels so long ago at the same time. Yeah, so
it's like we're in a bubble here, you know. It's like we're in like a little bit of like a time warp, like where, and you'll notice it like being in town now.
Yeah,
you don't realize as much what's going on in the outside world because you're so engulfed in like the scene of what's going on here.
Yeah.
And it just moves so freaking fast.
Yeah.
Like it really does, man. Like I was at a festival in Ohio like a month ago, and it feels like a year ago.
Yeah.
And it's only a month.
It feels like I was just on this podcast like not very long ago, like the first time.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was like almost 20 episodes ago.
Yeah.
A little like more. So that was 20 weeks ago, which is like
you got to think like the year's halfway over already.
More than halfway.
Yeah, over. More than halfway over.
Yeah, we're in August.
Yeah. It's like we only got 4 more months and it's 2026.
Yeah, so how do you mentally stay grounded with everything moving so fast? Like how do you find time to enjoy the moments but also stay locked in?
I just have a routine, you know, like wake up same time and, you know, like talk to my manager and kind of get a rundown. And then, you know, like I'll have like Saturday and Sunday to kind of wind down. I don't wind down on Saturday. It's like, I do that Sunday to like do nothing And then like Saturday, I'm kind of like just chilling out and not doing a whole lot of stuff. But during the week, it's just like grind time.
And the hard part's going to be, because I know you've gotten to go out on the road and do some of that stuff. And yeah. You'll be getting back out on the road here in the fall, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's like you find yourself grinding and you want to write and stay productive and stay functioning during the week. And then the weekend, you're on the road. So yeah. It's like balancing that. That was always my hard part was... It's like what I'm doing right now with it being festival season. Like, yeah. I was just up in Wisconsin. I leave in a Sprinter van for Peoria, Iowa, and Illinois. Sorry, Cruisins. I love you, Peoria, Illinois. We love it. And then up to Minnesota. It's like the back to backs, you know. Yeah. And that's what you're going to be doing. You start out weekend warrioring, and then you're gone.
Yep.
You go for like weeks at a time.
Yeah, which I'm ready for, but like,
yeah.
I think it's really hard to write whenever you're out on the road.
Like, well, you write so much by yourself. I don't think you're going to have a problem with that.
Like, I know, like, whenever I was on that the last tour, I was like, I need to write. But you just, like, whenever you're not performing and you're not doing all the show stuff, you just want to chill out.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, the last thing that comes is music. Like, not music, but, like writing songs and stuff. So...
Yeah, you've got a booking deal now too, right?
Yeah, I'm with Wasserman.
How's that been going?
Good. They've been like, as soon as we started, we've been kicking, like they've been kicking butt really good. So like getting stuff already lined out. I think I have a show in, is it Miller, Tennessee or Madison, Tennessee?
Madison, Tennessee.
Is it Madison? Okay, yeah, I have a show coming up there at the end of this month.
Let's get on the website. I'm gonna check all these dates for you, because I looked on Spotify. Sometimes it's on there. It doesn't look like it's on there right now. I'm just glad Keeps Me Sane's back on Spotify,
dude.
Bro.
Yeah,
I was like going to jam it in the rental car this weekend. Yeah. I'm like, where is this? And I saw your post, and I'm like, oh, what the hell's going on?
Yeah,
how can they pull this song that's streaming really well? I'm like, what was going on?
Yeah, that was a bummer, but it's back up.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Like. It really showed me how much people cared, like, about that song. Whenever I made a post, and there'd be like tons of comments on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, you know, all that stuff, TikTok, asking where'd the song go? It's not on Spotify. I was like, what? What are you guys talking about? And I look, and like I'm looking at like Spotify for Artists, and it's like this song's unavailable. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm glad that all got figured out. Yes, I'm glad that it got figured out, dude. One song that really stands out to me that I bump all the time, and it hit a couple weeks ago when you played it live, is when you play Whiskey Mirror the Pain.
Yeah.
I like the whole crowd can feel it when you sing it and when you're playing it.
Yeah.
And it's like it's deep, and it's like the way that you strum your guitar and everything, and the way that your voice just goes, it's like this this aggressive, like estranged kind of feeling. So talk a little bit more about that song.
So I was headed back to Lamar, Missouri, my hometown, from South Dakota, and I was going through Sioux City, and I had like the "She's probably cooked down on a cat," like that. I had that line. Just that's about it in a voice memo. And then it's like somewhere out in Oklahoma, like just that part in a voice memo. And it was a terrible voice memo because it was connected to my car Bluetooth. So trying to figure out the words to it whenever it came down to writing the song was tough. So I got back. I had to do community service for this stupid stuff I did in Indiana. And I was doing community service in like an abandoned cemetery, and I started writing it, and then I just finished it, and I like dropped what I was doing, flew back home in my truck, finished the song, got a voice memo of it, and it just sat like for the longest of time. But I really liked that one. It like goes through like three like very big addictions in the world, you know, and I just like, I thought it was really cool. It sprouts from like one specific person, but it relates to three other people that, or two other people that, like, I've ran into in my life in different states, you know? That song's like, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, man. And it's very much like, it's, again, people are relating to the darker stuff right now. People are talking more about, we talked about anxiety. People are talking more about addiction in country music than they ever have. Because it's
so real and so common in the world. Kind of like, anxiety, depression, addiction, just everything.
What's the worst case of addiction that you've kind of seen in your life, or like seen through your eyes, where you've seen somebody kind of struggle?
Drinking, hell, even myself. I mean, I've witnessed it firsthand, like being really bad at hitting the can or hitting the bottle, and just like not knowing a limit. But you know, I've seen like what that song talks about. I've seen it. All three of those, like, really bad, you know. I've had, like, the, like, coke, you know, like, getting in the way of mine and another person's relationship.
Yeah.
And, which is where the song really started from, because I was pissed off at the world. And
yeah,
I was like, what happened to this? And it's like, I wonder where that person is now. But, yeah, so... Yeah, I've witnessed kind of all three. People smoke a little weed. That's cool. Yeah. But I've experienced it to where it's like gotten in the way of in the way of a relationship. You know, drinking and partying and you know that all being more important than the person that you say you love or whatnot.
And part of the reason that people start using is to drown out those dark feelings. It goes back to the mental health aspect.
Yeah.
It always does. But there's always a way, there's a way out of it, you know? There is, and music is one of those things where it helps people kind of get centered, you know? I've been off the bottle. I hit 9 years back in May.
Congratulations.
And I wouldn't be able to, luckily I got off it and I went through my shit before I moved down here.
Yeah.
But if I had been going through that when I first moved down here, oh boy, I probably wouldn't be sitting here with you right now. You know, it's tough.
Crazy how that works too.
Yeah, man, it is. And it's like, it all connects and all of that. What's it like being a fourth generation farmer that says, I'm leaving the farm, I'm going to go weld, and I'm going to go start a music career. I'm going to go
do music now.
Yeah.
I see, like, you were asking earlier about what it's like going back home. Like, whenever I was home, I just rake hay and build hay.
Went back to work?
Yeah. That's kind of like, I kind of planned it because I just wanted to, like, you know, get away for a little bit, and that was like the best vacation I could ask for. It was just peace and quiet. I don't have any service anywhere. I was still like doing stuff like remotely, but like it was like in the evening time, afternoon time, I was just like unbothered, and I was dealing with cattle and just baling hay, raking hay. That's what I was doing the whole time I was home. And just catching up with the family, because I hadn't been home in, shoot, I don't know how long. So, yeah.
Have they gotten out here to visit you yet, since you've gotten settled in Tennessee?
Yeah, my mom and dad both came here. I want to say, time flies by. I can't even remember what.
You blink and it's freaking a month later.
I want to say it was like April, May. I could be lying.
So back in the spring.
Or June maybe. I don't know. Like, they came and I come from a small town. And like my dad especially has not been to many big cities. And I took him down Broadway.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. He did not like that. But I don't even like that. Like, it's a disaster in my mind on its own, so I can't even imagine how he felt.
And how old is your dad?
He's 51 52.
Been doing what his dad did and what his grandpa did, farming in a small town.
Yeah, just
there's more people in one of those bars than there are in the entire town.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, no, I mean...
How big is...
My hometown's 4,000, but, like, I don't think I've ever seen 4,000 people. I don't think I've seen 1,000 people in one area in my town, so I'm kind of like...
You can fit like a couple thousand people in Jason Aldean's.
Really? Like,
yeah. It's that I'm big
like,
of a bar.
Sometimes I'm like, man, does Lamar really have 4,000 people? Like, I don't think that's right.
But I'm sure it's spread out across.
Yeah.
It's like, how many acres are you guys on?
Like my farm?
Yeah.
Dude, I couldn't even tell you. There's like two farms. There's like my mom's side, my dad's side. I think my dad has like... My dad and grandpa, like my dad's side, has like, I don't know, 500-600 acres, probably something like that.
Why it's so spread. That's why they say there's 4,000 people in Lamar because everybody's living on 500-600
acres. It's probably like 4,000 people in like Barton County, and that's probably what it is instead of Lamar. So
that's beats crazy. Me. Yeah, so then to put it into perspective, you come from a town where there's 4,000 people that you never see all in the same place, and you got almost 2 million people listening to your music monthly on Spotify.
Yeah. It's like it goes up 1 million every day, too. Like, I mean, yeah, it goes up 100,000. Yeah. Like, every single day. That's freaking insane, dude. I never would have thought, like, a year ago today, because it's been, like, this time last year was whenever I... Around this time, minus 1 or 2 weeks, maybe, I don't know, but this exact time last year, I had flown in and never came here, walked into a studio in Hendersonville, and didn't know what the heck I was doing. And now I'm here a year later. I'm living in Nashville. I've put out, I don't know how many songs, like 12, 13, 14 songs now. And I haven't played that many shows, but like I've still played quite a few shows, more than what I ever intended.
In different parts of the country.
Yeah.
Like you've gotten to tour.
Yeah. So it's like, where have times gone? So yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, man. Well, it's a lot to be proud of what you've accomplished in a short amount of time. And I know you got that cross around your neck. Talk about the relationship with the man upstairs and being a believer and trusting the plan.
I mean, like, I don't go to church.
I don't either. And I got one on too. It's a little smaller.
But it's kind of like, I don't like, I still like, you know, I still read the Bible. I'm like, still pray. And I wouldn't be anywhere without God, my family, or like my team that I have around me. And I'll tell about anybody that, and I have no shame in it at all. Like, yeah, so that's, it's not as close as it should be, but it's still there. And, you know, I talk about it a lot in like songs and stuff, like talk about, not like in a Christian music way, but like just like questions that you have that people would say in a prayer or something, you know, like why, or like heaven knows that was me but I'm not him is one of my song lyrics. So it's like definitely a theme that's inputted into
it's the redemption.
Yeah,
it's the redemption. It's I was in some dark places, and hey God, can you help me out?
Yeah.
Like, what's the plan? If I'm going through this dark time, where's the light at the end of the tunnel? And you just got to trust that light's going to be there. And you put that into the music, man. Like, you sing about the dark stuff in hopes that a whiskey meet or the pain, that those folks that you're singing about, they get better.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about that story to shed light on that for folks that are going through it, to let them know, like, you're heard, you're seen.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
It's special, man.
It's fun. Like, it's...
Isn't that crazy? It's like, it's like, special you're having this impact, but at the end of the day, it's like, it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I love doing.
Yeah. It's... I couldn't see myself now doing anything else. Like, I wouldn't want to. This is just so much fun, just like getting to meet new people and like get to do cool things, like really cool things that not everybody gets to do. Like, no, it's just I'm so grateful for it. I'm happy for it. So
think of how many people want to do music and that's their thing, and they want to have people listen, and they don't get anywhere near the numbers or have anywhere near the people, like being able, because the goal is to affect as many people as possible, like spread your message to the masses, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
And you've gotten to do that, and you've been here full time, not even a year.
Yeah. Right out of year.
Right out of year. Well, it's the first time you came out here to visit. Mm-hmm. Which, Hendersonville, shout out Hendersonville. I freaking love Hendersonville, bro.
Yeah.
I don't know if you go there a lot anymore, but.
Shout out Joe Costa.
Oh, it was with Joe?
You know Joe?
Yeah.
He's who did like Baker and.
Yeah, bro.
He's done a bunch of artists with Alamo. So.
Yeah, dude, Joe and Martina. They were one of the first acts that Raised Rowdy ever covered on the blog back
really?
In the day. Yeah. They're really? OG. Raised Rowdy, because they have Luke, they have Joe has those Luke Combs cuts off of the first like EP and like the first record. They have been repping and wearing Raised Rowdy since like 2017.
That's so
like,
cool.
Those are OGs. I'm not as close to them as Nikki T is, but Joe and Martina are family.
I think they're finally back in town.
Yeah, I know. They were bouncing around for a little bit.
They were out in Cali there for a while. So yeah, shout out Joe and Martina.
Yeah.
Great people. Love them.
Yeah, man. They are good. They are good people. What was it like getting in that studio for the first time? I mean, now that I know that it was with Joe, too. Like,
yeah.
He's such a welcoming, like, big brother type figure.
I was nervous,
so many guys.
I was nervous, but he definitely, like, made me comfortable and, like, you know, hyped me up whenever I needed it. And, like, just pretty much told me, like, you're good, dude. Like, you're fine. And they're still supportive. They still, like, message me here and there, like, congratulating me on stuff that's going on. So yeah,
that's good. And they get that West, because you're, how would you describe your music? Like, because it has some elements to that Western, like we could tell that you know a thing or two about that Western, like you've been around cows and shit before.
Yeah,
you know, like you can feel those type of elements, but then it has that like Americana-y songwriter-y thing that like Zach Bryan's and Childers and those guys have kicked the door down on.
I grew up listening to the Stanley Brothers, Ralph Stanley, Keith Whitley, and like the Everly Brothers, and they all derive from like Ralph Stanley, which is like Appalachian, like banjos, fiddle, guitar, like bluegrass music.
Yeah.
And so like my songwriting and like my music just has so much of that, but it's mixed in with like my Midwestern life and my working on the road life. And it's just like, I think it's a mix of those three, but I think a lot of it, like a lot of like where I start is playing like kind of like bluegrassy. I can't play bluegrass like,
no, those like flat top pickers are a different
I'm no Billy Strings like, but like I'm trying, but I'm nowhere close. So that's it. A lot of like where it all starts is like listening to that bluegrass and stuff growing up and still currently. And so, yeah.
Do people say that you remind them of Tyler Childers?
I've gotten that a lot. I've gotten that a lot.
What do you think it is that they see or they hear?
I'd say it's definitely the songwriting and like the singing, like the sounds the same. Because I don't have a deep voice at all. So, like, whenever I sing, it's up there. And it's, like, I belt things out, like.
It's emotion.
Yeah.
You're preaching.
Yeah.
You're preaching a story.
I'd say it's, like, the voice, like, the sound is what makes people say Tyler Childers. Like, which is a great compliment. I take that as a compliment. Like, that's, you, like. You could call me Tyler Childers any day you want. Like, go ahead. Like, it's not gonna make me mad because I have so much respect for his music and his songwriting, and just it's really So.
And he sonically paved the way for the guys that are in that singer-songwriter space today. Like,
yeah.
His Purgatory record is one of the best of all time.
Definitely goated. Somewhere up there.
It's, what would jump in, what would some of your favorite records be? Because you smiled when I said that. So or even it could be songs, like, dude, just
songs. Oh my gosh!
It's like Ralph Stanley. I know one. It's the "Oh Death" song that was in "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou." Yeah, one of the greatest movie soundtracks of all time.
Yeah. Oh man, songs.
Songs or albums, like who are some of your, like, you talking about bumping?
Dude, like.
Like, what's a record, like, what's a CD you remember getting at Walmart? I know you're younger than me, so CDs weren't as much of a thing, but oh, dude, what's something where you listen to from front to back?
Dude, Toby Keith?
Yeah.
Like, he had some freaking, I can't remember album names.
We're going to look up the years. If you tell me the songs that were on, I can tell you the records they were on. Because I like post 9/11 Toby Keith a lot, just because I remember.
I like 90s Toby Keith.
Oh, you like the back in the day,
like,
Toby.
He Ain't Worth Missing, Should Have Been a Cowboy. Like, yeah. Like that was some good stuff.
Yeah, I like the How Do You Like Me Now?
Yeah, How Do You Like Me? Like, yeah, like that era of Toby Keith.
Dreamwalking, that era of Toby Keith.
But then there's like Elvis, like I can't help falling in love with you. Like, whatever album that was on, I can't remember.
I don't know the names of Elvis albums. I ain't
but like, but like, dude, like that's probably a goated song for sure. Keith Whitley. Homecoming 63, When You Say Nothing at All. Man, I don't know. Like, I listen to so much.
You listen to a lot of older stuff.
Yeah.
So you don't, so not as much in the modern thing.
I listen to, I don't know, I'm trying to.
If you pulled out your Spotify right now, what would be on there?
I don't use Spotify.
Or Apple guy.
I use YouTube Music.
You use YouTube. You are a small town kid. Dude. That's what I tell.
So to Tyler Chillers again. So the reason I have YouTube Music and that's what I use now.
Yeah.
Is I can listen to all of his unreleased stuff. I'm like, I can listen to everybody's unreleased stuff, but like.
Yeah. Like if it's been published on YouTube, you got it.
Yeah. So like, I don't know, I've been rocking his newest album. Johnny Paycheck. Taylor McCall, have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Let's see. Logan Ryan Band.
Yep.
Parker McCollum.
Yeah, we just saw him in Wisconsin. He killed it. He was one of the headliners at the festival we were at, Crossroads 41. Did well. It's slower stuff. It's a slower show, but it's still effective.
Yeah. Wait, who's that?
Parker, yeah.
Dude.
And he talks about some dark, like he jumped into like his first, like his Limestone Kid album, that first one he put out years ago. He was singing about some darker shit.
Yeah.
Like grandpa's kicking, like talking about his grandpa having cancer and stuff like that. Like talking about drugs a little bit. And then he kind of went away from that. And now this new record, it's like,
yeah,
it hits you like with, what is it? My Blue. Is that the song that he has? Where he's telling a story and it's fucking dark and I'm like, what is, like, whoa, he's like back in it.
Have you heard Big Sky?
Big Sky, yeah, My Blue and Big Sky. Yeah, the first two records and then Solid Country Gold. I mean, Watch Me Bleed, Killing Me, like,
yeah.
It's a very
like darker.
It's him as a songwriter. It's him going back to really, he's gotten some hits under his belt and these are, I almost like the deeper tracks better.
Mm-hmm. People relate to that stuff more, I think. Yeah. So.
Yeah, YouTube Music.
YouTube Music, dog. It's where it's at.
That's awesome.
It's where it's at. Hate it or love it, but it's what I listen to.
Yeah, because I always say when people grow up in small towns and stuff, I'm like, how do these TikTok influencers get so big? And it's like, everybody's got a phone. Like, people might not be watching TV, but they're going to look on their phones, and it's free. So if you're from a small town, you don't have a whole lot. All you got to do is get on your phone and you can watch.
I pay for YouTube Music.
You have the premium.
I have the premium. So
like, no commercials.
No commercials, yeah. We don't mess with that.
What was the first way that you started consuming music, like as a kid? Like, were you around for CDs and stuff?
CDs and tapes.
It was CDs and tapes.
Yeah, my grandma, she sent me home with CDs and tapes, like something new every single time that I went home from her house. So I would like, I'd fall asleep with a little, what is RCA, like CD player.
Yeah.
Or like, and I just listen front to back to like John Conley, Keith Whitley, Everly Brothers, you know, all like all the people at Toby Keith, just so many artists, just front to back. And then it'd just start over again, and I'd wake up to track number 6,
yeah,
10, or whatever, you know? So that's how I started consuming music. And then, like, I started auctioneering whenever I was 7. And
So you can do the talking really fast.
Dude, I'm not going to do it. Like, I don't think I can do it anymore, but.
How fast do you have to go doing that stuff?
It's just like everybody has their own style, like, of doing it, but
because you got an auctioneer mustache, so now this all makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense now.
Makes a lot of sense.
So I guess, like, technically I'm a third generation auctioneer too.
Oh, so your dad does it?
My uncle does it.
Oh, so that's in the Nance family. Yeah. Okay.
So I did that. I learned all like the tongue twisters and like all that stuff, and then I got bored of that, and then I discovered rap music. I heard like Jason Aldean's like Dirt Road Anthem. And that was like rap music.
Back
like,
in the day, Pop Smoke was the place to go.
Yeah.
Again, you can relate to that. Yeah.
And then I found Eminem, and I found like a bunch of other rappers. So I'd sit at a computer like studying lyrics, and
yeah,
I'd be like writing lyrics down and what they meant and stuff like that. And then I just fell in love with like Eminem, like his writing capability.
Yeah.
It was like insane. And so.
Favorite Eminem song?
Oh man, why do you ask these hard questions, man?
I'm good at what I do, Tyler. I'm good at what I do, bud. I'm gonna have an off the wall one.
That's a song of his.
I know.
I have a whole playlist of man.
The one I'm gonna go with while you're thinking. I'm gonna say Stan.
Stan, oh, that's Stan. Like such a great story.
And it reminds me, like, now I see where you get some of your darker storytelling,
yeah,
from. Like, you went through an Eminem, you went through a Shady phase. And it's like, it has the strong hook to it, that da-da-da-da-da-da. But he's telling that story, and it's dark.
Without Me is catchy. Yeah. There's so many.
Trailer Park Girls, go around the outside. Yeah. Around the outside.
Shake that. Yep. Yeah. Like, I like his dirty.
You like his up. Yeah.
Yeah. I like his dirtier stuff.
His ass shaking songs.
Yeah. And then he's got like the Slim Shady LP. He has, I think it's song. It's a song. It's called If I Had, maybe. He has a bunch of good songs.
So much albums, so many things to look up. Which one, If I Had?
It's called If I Had.
Yeah.
It's like one of his very first songs. There's a bunch of them. I'm trying to think back of like where Slim Shit, it's Slim, the Slim Shady.
Yeah, that's what my name is came out, was, yeah, on that Slim Shady LP.
There's so many good songs.
There's so many similarities between, and I know sonically they're closer than they've ever been, but country and rap, or country and hip hop, yeah, especially on the darker side of things, like, you can get the same message across. It's just different delivery.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense.
It's that delivery.
So many guys and girls come up listening to rap,
yeah,
that are in the country world.
Eminem, he like read a dictionary, and I've learned that as a kid, and so like I still have the dictionary, and I used to like read through it at night and like just start reading it front to back. I don't know what all I consumed from that, but like I was just like so interested in like lyricism, like lyrics and words and stuff.
Yeah.
And like it all like kind of, I guess it kind of derived from auctioneering. Now we're here.
So how many years did you auctioneer?
I think it was like 7 or 8 to, it was like 12, 13 maybe. So
how does it, so little 7-year-old Tyler's getting up on like a podium and just starting to talk, little step ladder, and you're just selling cows?
Selling like stuff. It was like house auctions, like
people's
like chairs, tables, belongings, like TVs, stuff like that, their art, their pictures, and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Do you feel like you had an advantage doing that, being like a young... I could feel like they'd be more likely to keep buy stuff from the young kid.
Yeah, because I was cute.
Versus the old man.
I was a little short redhead kid with a cowboy hat on. Like
little Mason Ramsey out here.
Yeah. Yeah. People loved it, ate that stuff up, so yeah.
That's wild. I did not know that about you. That's a cool, dude. Interesting fact.
Yeah, dude.
I got you opening up on here now, man.
Yeah, man.
Come a long way.
Yeah, dude.
What's it been like doing more interviews and things like this too? I know you were on RFD TV, which I'm sure being an ag kid, that's gotta be pretty cool.
I was telling Larry, my manager, I was like, dude, this is so full circle because like I remember like walking into my grandpa's house, into his living room, and he'd be watching the reruns of Marty Stewart and like Loretta Lynn on RFD TV and like the news that they have on there and stuff. And I was like, now I'm here, and it's like just so full circle. And I gave him a little nod, a little nod on there. He's like, so do you have anybody watching? And I said, my grandpa Red, which... Yeah, so that was really, really cool. And he's like, I saw you. I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah, so. That's cool, man. That's really cool. So what do we have? What are the big goals for the rest of this year?
I'm going to try and I want to keep on putting out singles.
Do we know when the next one's going to be coming?
I don't know when, but I know what it is. It's a song called Shovel, and it's really deep.
Feel like you can go so many ways with a one word title.
Yeah.
Like one word titles.
I'm going to leave it at.
You can take it wherever you want. I'm going to try to guess and you tell me the state that you were in when you were writing it. Like not the physical state, like the mental state of like where you were in your mind writing it.
The song's about like, where was I? It's like,
is it one where you were by yourself and you were screaming out lyrics late at night? Like I know you.
No, I was in a writing session with Katie Cecil and Chris Gennadis here in town, and we wrote it. And it's like, I can't remember where the idea really came from, but it's like it just came up, and I think it is really cool and relatable. So we're like, yeah, we're going to put that one out next. So it's nice. Called Shovel.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's also like the strategy of it. Like you've got Keeps Me Sane doing what it's doing.
Yeah.
So it's like, but that'll be a bridge to the next song and then the next song and then the next song. And then eventually you'll get a big full project out with all those fucking things on them.
Yeah.
It's going to be really cool.
I think we're going to put out a 16 song album.
I mean, you've got a bulk of it, but I'm sure you have songs that you want to get out there that'll be a part of that 16. So then it's like,
yeah,
you strike me as a guy that every project's going to be a chapter. Like we're going to go back on that first EP and say, all right, this was Tyler 1.
Yeah.
And then we're going to see the full length record. Like, all right, it's evolving. Yeah. And then it's evolving and it's evolving. That's so cool.
It's going to be called Midwest Memoir.
Oh, that's the album title?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yep. It's going to be called Midwest Memoir. Because a lot of the songs just have so many like hints towards it, or like talks, sings about it.
Yeah.
Sings about growing up in the Midwest. And so it's going to be really cool. There's some really, really good songs. There's songs that like kind of blew me away when they were finished up, and I was like, dang, like this stuff's really good. So yeah,
that's wild, man.
Yeah,
it's all freaking happening.
It's all happening.
It's literally happening right now.
I'm so thankful for it. I couldn't be any more thankful for it. It's just so crazy where things have gone, where my life's taken me just in such a short amount of time. So
yeah. And it's redemption too, dude.
Yeah.
It's the putting in, I look at it like in my own life of, I was talking with Ike, our video guy, when we were dealing with all of our travel chaos last night with all the flights and having to drive from Milwaukee to Chicago to wait 4 hours to get on a different plane. But I was telling him, I'm like, I used to sleep in my Toyota Corolla in the radio station parking lot when I was working and making like $10 an hour, busting my ass, you know? So I'm like, I look at that as like the paying my dues and all of that. And it's like, you haven't been in town very long. You haven't been putting out music very long. But in terms of life, you have paid your dues.
Yeah, I feel like I have anyways.
No, you have for sure. How many guys go up and I'm sure there's you'd be able to tell me there's a lot of them. And you know a lot of guys and girls that do that shit. But it's... You go through stuff and there's light at the end of the tunnel and good things happen, man.
Yeah.
It's the way of the world, you know? You go through one thing and it leads to the next and you wind up here on a podcast. Like, it's crazy.
It's kind of just what you make of, like, what you make of your struggles, really. And if you can, I mean, like, what I did was just write music for my struggles, so. And it's been paying off, so. Just gonna try to keep on going on the path. And
man, that's what it's all about. And as someone who listens to your stuff every day to the point where I notice when Keeps Me Sane wasn't on there, like, thank you for doing what you do.
Dude,
like, because you're making a difference to a lot of guys and girls, and I'm sure it's started to happen already with the limited shows that you've been able to get out and do.
Yeah.
But this next time, now that you have a song like Keeps Me Sane, when you get out there, that next time that you're out and wherever playing a show, you're going to have people singing that back to you. You're going to have people tears in their eyes singing that back. Like, just, you're going to have people where that'll be the highlight. That might even be the highlight of some of their years or their months. Like, that'll be a moment they won't forget, seeing you live singing that song with you.
I'm so stoked.
You know, man?
I'm so stoked.
It's so freaking cool, man. And I can't wait to get out there and see a full band show,
dude,
and watch you start selling things out and getting to go on cool tours opening for people, because you got a great team around you too, man.
You got
some of the best people in town.
Like, absolutely,
like, shout out Noel setting us up back in the day, and now we're buddies, man, and your management team and your records team and Wasserman. Like, you got all the right tools, dude.
It's all
happening, so I'm just happy I get to see you from square one and watch this train go up the track, man. So anything else you want to tell the people about, because we don't know when the next song's coming, right?
Don't know when the next song's coming, but it's coming soon. And taking the song to radio, Keeps Me Sane, it's going to radio.
That's right, because it's on Sirius XM right now.
Taking it to radio and working on getting some shows. I mean, I'm going to put out the dates. I can't tell them right off my head, but hopefully within a month, though, we'll have another song out, hopefully sooner than that. But just trying to be strategic about everything and doing things the right way. And, you know, so.
Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Album coming at some point, new song coming and more shows coming.
Let's go.
And end over end. Things are just coming.
Let's go, dude. Well, yes, hopefully no more birds dive bombing into the side of your truck. That big old truck you got out in the parking lot, dude. But seriously, thank you so much for coming back on.
Thanks for
hanging,
me.
Man. Your family, anytime we can ever do anything with you or offer support, or I can't wait to get out to a damn show.
I'm
so excited. And Nashville shows are cool, but there's something special about when you live in Nashville and then you go on a little road trip and go watch your buddies play to a crowd of people, the shows just hit differently out of town. You know,
absolutely. So
it'll be sick, man. Well, y'all be sure to look up our man, Tyler Nance. If you don't know Keeps Me Sane yet, you're living under a damn rock, and be on the lookout for new music coming really soon. And call up your local radio stations. Tell them to play that shit. Keeps Me Sane. You're going to be able to hear it all over the place, in small town Missouri to New York City, an area where I'm from, and Sirius XM playing the hell out of it as well. Shout out to our friends from Surfside, Vodka Iced Tea, Vodka Lemonade. Great way to start off your night. They pack a nice little punch. Drink them on the boat, drink them whenever, at the ball game. Ike was drinking them at the Brewers game the other night or the other day. So shout out to our good friends from Surfside. And for more on us, visit RaiseRowdy.com. For my man Tyler, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Outside the Round. I never
never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve, they usually just make them leave. So if you know